So we know that there is a Shanghai Cooperation Organization Heads of State Summit coming up in the first week of July, and it's been a bummer because it was to happen in India because the chair of the organization is by rotation. It was India's turn, and this was to be a summit in India. Now it's been declared that this will be a virtual summit. Now 2020 was also a virtual summit in November, but that was at the peak, the first peak of the COVID pandemic across the world. Now there is no such excuse. So this is a bit of a bummer, because if this was physical, this would have meant Xi Jinping, Shahbaz Sharif, Putin, and Central Asian leaders all coming into India. That's not happening. It's a virtual summit. Now, having said that, if you've been following National Interest, you might know my own views on SEO. In fact, I will share a link to that article, that National Interest piece, in early May, and also the video version of that article, in which I have actually expressed a great deal of skepticism about how important or useful Shanghai Cooperation Organization may be for India, because it's a China-led body. China-led body with Russia as a Chinese hanger-on. It was designed in 1996-97 as a quasi-military alliance among the Shanghai Five, as these were called, the five countries, China, Russia, and three Central Asian countries. And then they added more. Uzbekistan came, it became Shanghai Six. And then others came in. And then lately, Pakistan and India became sort of the Johnnies come lately in the organization. And the organization has grown. And now it looks like Belarus also might get added. And, you know, just to note this, just to take note of this carefully, the official languages of the organization, I'm taking it from the our Ministry of External Affairs website. The official languages are Chinese and Russian, right? The headquarters is in Beijing. So this is very much a Chinese-led organization. So I don't particularly shed much tear, that's opinion. I don't particularly shed much tear for this becoming a bit of a damp squib, because I'd rather that India did not get so committed to these China-led bodies, that is Shanghai Cooperation Organization, BRICS also, because China is such a dominating overhang there, and Brazil now is so close to China. Russia, in any case, is totally dependent on China for so many things. And also the so-called RIC, that is the Russia-India-China grouping, because in each one of these groupings, China is the boss, not formally, but for all practical purposes. So what this SEO is doing now, this SEO summit, which, as I told you, is becoming a virtual summit, so it will mean very little. Everybody will just repeat their platitudes, and it will be over. At least when people meet, delegations meet, some sparks fly, you can see some body language, people have bilateral meetings. Virtual, nothing happens. Nothing's given, nothing's taken. So that said, what this SEO is doing is it's making us focus on China and its new game plan on Central Asia, because its new game plan on Central Asia is now opening out. This is something that's been going on for the past many months. The Chinese came up with what is called as their Global Security Initiative in February of this year. That was a sizable document. I have it with me. Again, I'm sharing a link with you. And this is a link from the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And this is where the Chinese gave out their own view of global security. And it has some really loaded language and terminology. Obviously, the Chinese are positioning themselves as the counter, as the second superpower in the world. So remember, in 1997, at the second summit of the Shanghai Five, after the second summit of Shanghai Five, Yeltsin, Boris Yeltsin, who was then the Russian leader, and the Chinese leader, the leader then Jiang Zemin, they signed a joint declaration saying that this must be a multipolar world. This should not be a unipolar world, because that was the peak of unipolarity. Soviet Union had vaporized and America was the only power. So from that, from signing a joint declaration for multipolarity, China is now repositioning itself as the other pole. So this is not multipolarity. This is not a document or agenda for multipolarity. This is a document or agenda for a two-power world, or a two-pole world, as used to be the situation in the earlier Cold War era, although this document says rude things about Cold War mentality. Now, this document is one thing. But why are we saying reading this in conjunction with a few things that have happened subsequently, And in the light of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization meeting, which has now gone virtual, we can see the Chinese game unfolding in Central Asia. Because Central Asia right now, if you look at the map of the world, I'm looking at the map of the world on this tiny globe, you don't have to see it. The map of this part of the world is opening out on your screen. So please see that it's being enlarged. See the borders of China. You will see that it has Russia, Mongolia, large, long borders it shares with Russia, Mongolia. Then on the other side, it shares long borders with India. But on the western side, you see it shares borders with three Central Asian states. That is Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Kazakhstan. These are the crucial land borders that the Chinese have. Now, these land borders give China direct access into Central Asia, the vast landmass of Central Asia. That access India does not have. Because between India and Central Asia, there is Pakistan. And Pakistan does not even allow India transit rights to take wheat to Afghanistan that Afghans desperately need. India has to take that wheat by ship to Chabahar and then transport it to Afghanistan by the land route. So India is locked out of Central Asia, whereas China has this long land borders with three states in Central Asia. Other two states in Central Asia are a bit far, that is Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan, but those are easily accessible through these states. So the Chinese have a much better access and much better trading relationship and a much better leverage in Central Asian countries. What they are trying to now do is, if you read their Global Security Initiative document, along with what they have done lately, they are trying to move into the vacuum that's been created by Russia becoming so distracted. So far, Russia was the security provider to the Central Asian republics, which were earlier members of the USSR. They were all Soviet republics. But now that the Soviet Union is no more, post-Soviet Union, Russian Federation was the security provider to these republics. Now, Russia is distracted. Russia is greatly weakened. We don't know when that war will end. And all these countries are also anxious because these countries also have a lot of internal challenges. They don't have so many external challenges, but they have internal challenges. So China is moving into that role as the security provider to Central Asia. So the Chinese are drawing circles not around their adversaries or their old adversaries, like say India, by building these ports and outposts all around India, but they are also moving into the space emptied out by their own desperate ally and friend, that is Russia. And that is where China gets great leverage. Now, what did China do that's provoking us? Okay, this SEO summit would not have mattered very much because not that much substantive gets done at SEO. Nothing so substantive can be done at a multilateral organization of eight countries, which includes India, Pakistan, and China. So three of them have serious problems amongst themselves. So that organization can't go very far. So what have the Chinese done? Just when the G7 were meeting in Hiroshima, India was also an invitee. Just when the G7 were meeting in Hiroshima, our Prime Minister Modi was there. The Chinese countered it by holding yet another very interesting summit in Xi'an. Now, Xi'an in China is the starting point of the Silk Route from the Chinese side. Traditionally, it's from here that caravans went out across Central Asia into Persia, Turkey, and then into Europe, and that or came in from there. Now, it is there that the Chinese held a summit of their own. And this was a summit of a new organization, sort of organization that they set up. This was the China Central Asia Summit. This was the first China Central Asia Summit. And the fact that this is a new organization, the Chinese made very clear by also announcing that the next summit of this China Central Asia grouping will take place 2 years from now, that is 2025. So this is a new organization. This organization, in a way, outflanks the Shanghai Cooperation Organization because the Shanghai Cooperation Organization has the overhang of India and Pakistan. India and Pakistan will fight. India and China will fight. There will be no unity of purpose, and the Chinese domination will not be that complete because India will challenge it all the time. And the Chinese objective of dominating the Central Asian region will not be served. So what have the Chinese done? They have outflanked Shanghai Cooperation Organization, an organization they had set up themselves by setting up this new China Central Asia grouping, which has now China plus Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan. All of these are members of SCO, but they've also added Turkmenistan. So this means they've got all the so-called stans. Remember, American media used to say, oh, where are the stans? Of course, then they would think of Pakistan, Afghanistan also as part of the stans. But the stans of Central Asia are all part of this grouping. So what do the Chinese want there? If you read up on the Chinese plans in Central Asia are opening out. In fact, the best understanding of the Chinese plans for Central Asia come from nothing else. You don't have to go far. You just have to listen to Xi Jinping's speech in Xi'an. Because he's talked about building a transport corridor through Central Asia to transport food, fuel, commodities. What is the purpose? Because he's concerned. He's seen now how Russia has suffered disruption because of the sanctions, etc. He knows that he might be in a similar situation tomorrow. So he wants to build alternatives to regular supply chain. So a new supply chain, a new transport corridor through Central Asia, with which he has contiguous land borders. And once again, if he sets up what is called as Trans-Caspian transport system through Central Asia going into Europe, he can get an alternative route to Europe bypassing all of Russia. Again, see the map of the world, this part of the map of the world. He just has to go skirting the Caspian Sea. Caspian Sea, as you know, is a lake. It's a very large one. It's 1200 kilometers in length and average width is about 320 kilometers. It's called a sea, but it's essentially a lake with loads and loads of fresh water and, of course, caviar and a lot of the oil wells sort of around it in the countries around it. What that means is that this is also a region loaded in energy. And that is the reason Xi Jinping is so focused on it. Now, if you look at what Xi Jinping has done in this region, Xi Jinping in his speech promised 26 billion yuan as support and grants to the Central Asian region. For that region, it's a lot of money. Please also remember that this region is critical to BRI, is Belt and Road Initiative. In Kazakhstan itself, he's got 55 BRI projects running, valued at $27.5 billion. So again, he has a footprint there and he has a shadow there, which is enormously bigger than India's. Plus, he also has a geographical or a contiguity advantage there. China's trade with Kazakhstan is $31 billion. India's trade with Kazakhstan is just over $2 billion, right? So that tells you how much more present China is in that region. Also, the Chinese buy a lot of the energy from these countries because they can transport it directly to their country. And if they build more pipelines, the Chinese are building a major pipeline and planning more major ones, then they get integrated in this region. Similarly, the Chinese are planning a China-Europe freight train again through this region. So these are all these trends that the Chinese have. Now, to understand this a little bit better and the Chinese game a little bit better, I also refer to you a paper from US Institute of Peace. Now, sometimes in my more cynical moments, I might have called it US Institute of Pakistan, because when they talk about Pakistan, India, about this subcontinent, I find a lot of their research very loaded. Okay, maybe I put it simplistically. If I said pro-Pakistan point of view, not pro-Pakistan, but they look at several things when they talk about the subcontinent from the Pakistani point of view, right? So that is the reason sometimes in my cynical moments, I call it the US Institute of Pakistan. In this case, this is a research paper on China and China's plans in Central Asia. It's a very interesting and important research paper. It has a lot of data. I'm sharing a link with you. Please read that if you're interested and if you're preparing for UPSC. This is a paper written by Carla Freeman, Alison McFarland and Gavin Helph. This paper also takes off from the China Central Asia Summit and quotes the Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson there, Wang Wenbin, who called this summit as being of quote-unquote milestone significance. Earlier, the authors point out, China's engagement with Central Asia was bilateral, country with country, with each country separately, or through Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Now they've created this new grouping. which raises the question, why? And that why is obviously because they find that Shanghai Cooperation Organization, they don't have sufficient privacy, quote unquote, sufficient privacy to deal with what they see as countries in their backyard. And the countries who can become dependent on them, not just economically, but also in terms of security. Because even in this summit, there was a lot of talk of security, of China becoming a provider of security to this region. And this paper then harks back to China's Global Security Initiative document, which I shared with you. If you read that document, you know where the Chinese are coming from. Because Chinese have talked in Central Asia at this summit about Central Asia's security issues. And they have said there are threats from terrorism. There are also threats, and this is from Xi Jinping's speech. So Xi Jinping, in his speech, talked about threats to these countries from terror, but also from color revolutions. Now, what is a color revolution? Color revolution was a term that came up, say, generally in 2004, because a lot of the anti-regime protests and revolutions or anti-regime protests in many countries, including Yugoslavia, for example, that came up and became so strong as to become revolutions and shook the regimes or changed the regimes. They had a color, beginning with, say, the Philippines having the yellow revolution. So many of these revolutions have been given colors, right? So he says you have threats from terrorism and color revolutions. Now, nothing scares the rulers of these countries. These are mostly dictatorial rulers. Nothing scares them more than a popular uprising. We had a Kartak letter, I think, a couple of years back, or maybe a year and a half back, when Kazakhstan had one of those, it was crushed in very quick time and quite violently. And in fact, Russian troops were also invited to help crush that. So that is the concern of these regimes. Xi Jinping has now plonked himself behind these regimes to say that, look, you have threats from terrorism. I think that's by the way. But your main threat, a color revolution, that means a popular uprising, that when that happens, I'll be there to help you. Obviously, India can't go to their help. And Russia is right now too distracted to do so. Now, having heard Xi Jinping, you read up the key sections of the Chinese Global Security Initiative. I will not go into it in detail because it's long and it'll take too much time. I'll leave it to you to read. But it has 6 principles on global security. Please read those principles. To me, if you ask me what do they read like, I'm sorry to be so reverential, but that's myself. It sounds a bit like the new punch shield, the 21st century punch shield with Chinese characteristics, because it has some really interesting lines. For example, there is a line that says, humanity is an indivisible security community. What does it mean? Does it mean that all your security is combined and what is not said there and what I'm deducing from this is that all you guys, I'm there, bada bhai, big brother, I'm present. I'll make sure that all of you are secure. Then it goes on to say, we uphold the principle of indivisible security. What is indivisible security? It says indivisible means individual security, common security, traditional security, non-traditional security are all combined, as are security rights and obligations. Right? Once again, what are obligations? There is no real definition there. And then they say that globally, China now wants to lead the world into a balanced, effective, and sustainable security architecture. And then this Global Security Initiative goes on to say, Cold War mentality, unilateralism, bloc confrontation, hegemonism, all of these contradict the spirit of the UN Charter and must be resisted and rejected. And then it talks at some length about abuse of unilateral sanctions. So you know where the Chinese are coming from, you know where the Chinese are setting themselves up, and you know where they are setting their eyes upon. The region, the critical region upon which they are setting their eyes now, is Central Asia. Central Asia, where a distracted Russia's absence has created a vacuum. It's also a security vacuum because Central Asia, all 5 countries are governed by dictators who really fear a popular upsurge, particularly an Islamic upsurge. And for them, China will be a very reasonable ally and protector next door, particularly when Putin's Russia is not available. So that's the new game that's opening out in India's extended geostrategic spheres. So this is the story, not what is happening at the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, because as we can see, or as we have seen now, the Chinese have themselves gone away from it and created a new organization of their own.